The band's latest release, Glorious Collision, will be coming out at the end of February in the States and all through the world. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this release?
Well, we didn't have any sort of ideas at all. We just, you know, with the changes that we had in the lineup and everything, we didn't even know if we were going to continue with Evergrey at all. You know, we just made an album that we just sat down and wrote songs. We didn't even have an album in mind. We just felt that we had to find something, you know, find the core of why we kept on doing this, you know, over and over. And then, and after a couple of days, we found the joy again in writing. And that was the only thing we set out to do. We decided that we should just keep on doing music that we enjoyed ourselves, you know. And that's... that's everything we set out to do, and we didn't have any more major plans than that.
And how do you feel that the new people that you brought over to the band try to fit in when you were doing the recording process and writing stuff?
I mean, first of all, we didn't invite any new members until we had written 8 or 10 songs. So pretty much all of the album except 2 songs are written by me and Rika, the guitar player. So of course that also sort of changed the way we sound, you know, in a way, not in a big way, because we have always been a keyboard based band, but I mean it changed it into being more melodic, I would say. I think that is the main difference in between this album and maybe the last 2, you know. So, what was your question?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just asking how the new members got incorporated to the band. So, whenever you were recording, did anybody provide any input, or they just pretty much played whatever you guys told them to do?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a lot like that, but I mean, at the same time, it was also Marcus, the guitar player, the new guitar player, he contributed with the basics for 2 songs, you know, so, which is incredible to be able to step into a band, you know. Imagine a band that has done 7 albums and that have just had 3 members leave the band because of reasons unknown, and he still steps in and contributes to 2 songs. I think that's extremely... I'm impressed by that, actually.
And what were your thoughts on how people would receive the album, since, like you said, people left the band and there was a moment of uncertainty on how or which direction was the band going to go?
I mean, that was not... It was not even a concern of mine, because... as I said, at first we just wrote demos, you know, and then all of a sudden that became an album that somebody was very interested in, and so we just made an album to suit ourselves and our own, you know, demands, basically. And it was very nice just to look over my left shoulder and say, "Hey, Ricky, do you like this?" And he would say, "Fuck no, that sounds like shit," or he would say, "Yeah, man, that's great," and that was it. We didn't have to ask 2 or 3 other guys, you know, that, so... in that way, and from that aspect, it was an extremely easy album to make, you know. And that's it, really. So we didn't have an expectation from anyone. Now, when people, I've done this is my 167th interview, I think I counted before, and I've never done so many interviews on an album before at all, you know. During such an intensive period, over the time, of course, but I mean, during, this is my 3rd week I sit in a row doing USA one day and Europe the other day, so, and I have a unanimous voice that says that everybody loves the album, so, I've had one guy that says, and he's from Greece, so maybe that's why, no, I'm kidding, but he said that I quite like the album, you know, and that's the worst I've got, so I mean, and I told him, there's something wrong with you, man. we just released that. That's it.
And how satisfied are you with the final sounding product now that you see it from, you know, that you can actually sit down and listen to it rather than trying to make it perfect as usually the process goes?
Yeah, I mean, I was incredibly satisfied when the final mix was done, you know, when the mastering was done. Then I was fucking thrilled. And then I decided to not listen to it anymore until I would need to. And I still had not had the need to do it, you know. But I will soon, because I just was rehearsing it. So I don't really have a view on that either. I mean, I think it's a great album. And I hear, you know, when I hear it, like, you know, listening to radio shows that I do interviews for, some of them, they play the, like, the singles and stuff like that. Then I hear the music and I hear the sounds. And it sounds the way I hoped for it to sound, and I'm very proud of the album.
And as part of your promotion and album release, you're doing a couple acoustic shows in Scandinavia. How do you feel that playing the acoustic versions of the songs is different from, like, the actual album versions?
I mean, that's a total different outlet in a way, you know. So we were doing that, you know, in a couple of weeks. We're starting this acoustic tour, but we have done a couple of shows like that before, and it's a totally different thing, you know. It becomes extremely intimate. It becomes something that is another, how should I put it? It's another side of it, really. You know, it portrays the song in ways that they were written, basically. You can hear what the songs are really about behind the distortion and stuff like that, you know. So it's a nice kind of change of pace, and it's a nice way for us to also, you know, as I said, reveal the songs as they can also be heard, you know, heard in a way. So it's a great thing. We're also recording, and we're supposed to record an acoustic album with, you know, maybe 20 or 22 different interpretations of old Evergrey songs as well. So it's a good way for us to get into that mold in a way.
And we had some people ask, or wonder at least, that are you guys planning on taking, you know, the acoustic shows some other places, or this is just an idea that it's been now and a little bit before, but not like to fully promote it like that or tour like that?
No, we're doing it in Atlanta. We're doing this Pro Power shows in Atlanta, and we're doing one whole show just acoustic there too. So that's like an hour worth of acoustic material. So at least, so that is really cool. And then those two shows in Atlanta are the start for a tour in America that starts on the 14th, I guess it is, and 14th of September, and then will last a month. So, you know, we'll be around. Well, we won't play the acoustic sets anywhere else, as I know yet.
And how do you feel that the new dynamics in the band are being handled with the new members? Are you guys having fun? How is it going for you guys like that?
I mean, we've done like two or three smaller tours and a few shows here and there and whatnot, and we're having fun, you know. We're enjoying our time together, and that's what we didn't do at all at our old work, you know. We just felt that, yeah, it became a work. It became a job, and we didn't enjoy each other's company. But now we do, you know. And now we also enjoy the company of the old members when we meet them and hook up with them, you know. Now we can have a beer without having to talk about the business side of everything, which is a nice thing, because it was more important for us to be friends than, you know, to keep on being band members.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the ideas that you guys are using in the cover of the album, since you see the guy falling down? What was your...
Because first of all, the album was supposed to be called Out of Reach, you know, then it makes a lot of sense, but then that sounds like very pessimistic for this album. Too pessimistic, actually, if that is ever possible in everybody's way, you know. but then we changed the title to Glorious Collision, man, and then we figured, okay, man, the man is falling, so it's inevitable to be a collision somewhere down the road, you know. So so we can, you know, it's that the whole booklet is based on these comic art-styled paintings, you know. It's hand-painted material with pen and pencil, you know, so it's extremely cool, and it's also printed now in the big, you know, this Digibook edition on the comic book paper, you know, everything could be a bit special. But so that was just a cool idea that I think we had. That and so every page, I mean, we have one unique picture for each lyric, you know.
Oh, okay.
So it's extremely cool, and I wouldn't even say that these are, I mean, that the cover is the most cool one or the most beautiful one or whatever you wanna. But it's the cover, it's the picture that portrayed the and you know, resembled it. Had some sort of a resemblance to the title.
Oh, that what prompted the change to the current title, and why did you pick that versus the one that you had in mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically because I felt like, as I said, I mean, it was a bit of a too pessimistic title, that Out of Reach thing, and then I felt like that also this album in general had a bit of hope in it, and I think that those, you know, collision being in people's minds a negative thing, and it usually is as well. I mean, and I have one easy way to explain it. When we, you know, we walk through life and we collide with people every day of the week, and every you know, if you're unlucky, every hour of the day, you know, and of course colliding is symbolic here, and then you know, collisions can be anything from a family member's death to as it was for us, having to tell your best friends that I don't want to work with them anymore. That was one of the greatest collisions I've been through, you know. And at the exact moment of impact, you know, when it really hits, then you are quite far from thinking clearly. You know, I didn't know what to think. I just felt that I can't work with these guys anymore, and I need to get out of it, you know. And that was a major collision for me to have to tell all my friends that I can't do this with them anymore, you know, and then they felt the same. So that was even worse, you know. So, but what I didn't know at that time was that this collision that I had with them would eventually make me alter my way and alter my way of thinking and my view on many things. And that collision led me to where I am today, you know, where I'm sitting here with an already successful album, just because I had that collision with them. So that makes it glorious for me.
Do you think that this collision and all that happened with the band members and stuff made the lyrics turn a little bit darker as everybody's been pointing out that this album sounds darker than usual, Forever Gray?
No, I think it's the other way around. I think we have been a bit too smart for our own good before, you know. We have been a bit too dark and hiding the hope that we have always been sort of, in my world, portraying, that nobody really understood that was what we were doing. So for this album, I think we really hit the home run with making people understand all of it, you know. It's like we found some button that made all the people in the world that didn't understand everywhere before all of a sudden understand everywhere. We have all these cool websites in America now loving us and, you know, wanting to premiere our videos and stuff like that, and before they didn't want to touch us in a way, you know, because they thought we were something else. But now all of a sudden we had, as I said, we pushed something that made people understand. So, and if that was to tone down the darkness, and that was that is what made it more sort of comprehensible and for people, then that's what it is. But it was never an intentional thing from our side. It's just music for us is what it is, you know. It comes, whatever comes out.
That musically, what things do you think that you wanted to modify a little bit and perfect for this album?
We don't think, you know, we don't think music at all. We just play. It's very hard to. That's the way I've always worked. I could call up the keyboard player in it, like 8 o'clock at night, and say, "Hey, man, write the most sad thing you've ever done on a piano in this key." And then, like, half an hour later, I would get, "This is what I come up with right now." And then 2 hours later, I would send back a song to him, you know? And that's the way we work. We never worked with a more major plan than looking at the actual song that we had in front of us, you know, or the actual riff or whatever, the verse or whatever it might be. We never go in with any intentions of writing in a certain way or in a certain mode or feeling.
And what would you say that now with the revamped lineup and all the expectations, well, not expectations, but, well, the expectation of the new release, what would you say is the future for the band?
Well, I know that we are booked for, like, I have a schedule that I can look at that makes me scared, because it's prepared up until January next year. So that's what I know that I have in front of us. But and at the same time, you know, we I don't expect anything. I've been in this business so long that I know that to expect things can only make you disappointed. But at the same time, if things come along that are great, it's just a great bonus, you know. So it's awesome, and you just hope to enjoy every minute of this release. After it was very close, we never had one, so you know. Yeah.
And going a little bit into the release date, it's funny enough, this is one of the few releases that you see that the release date is first in the North America, then in Europe. Did you have any ideas why this happened?
No, what is it? It differs 2 or 3 days. It's 22nd in America and Canada, and 23rd in Europe, and 25th in Germany. It's all because of different counting periods for the sharks and stuff like that, I would guess.
Okay, and are there any, like, goals that you have set out to do with this tour, maybe reach different audiences, or, I don't know, anything that you as a person or as a musician set out every time that you start an album cycle?
I mean, that's always the same every time, you know. You want to meet new people and catch up with new cultures and, you know, meet the fans in places where you've never been, and that could be... And it's, you know, even cool to visit different cities only. Even if you've been in the country, it's great to visit different cities, you know. So that's the thing what we strive for each and every time, you know. Get more known and get their stuff more known to people and get them to play. So, yep.
And in terms of the North American tour, which aspect do you think is going to be different this time, like we talked about, that the music's been reaching more people and more people are accepting it? So what aspect do you think, foresee, that it's going to be different this time than the previous times you toured?
I mean, previous times we have been opening up, so I think that's the major aspect that will change. And this time is that we are headlining, so I'm with a green band instead, so... I think that will make it easier for us to play, and our integration is quite complex, and sound-wise it demands quite a lot, and you know, we just want to make sure that we come there and be the best we can be.
Okay, are there, like, any closing remarks that you want to tell the people over in North America are expecting you guys later this year?
Oh, now I hear you. Closing remarks. Now, well, just be sure to come on... Watch us wherever we might be. If you have the chance and you don't have to drive too far or whatever, just come out, and I promise you, we will make your money worth it, you know.